I'm recording this episode on Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. It was supposed to be released on Tuesday, April 9th, so that would be yesterday at 6 a.m. And the topic was supposed to be reclaiming purpose. But that didn't happen, and in fact, today is not about reclaiming purpose. Instead, I've moved the Reclaiming Purpose to our 200th episode, which will come in a couple weeks. So today I wanted to address some questions from a couple listeners about job interviews or the job hunting process. So we're going to dive into that, and I'm just going to take you through a bunch of bullet points, and I'll have all this stuff summarized in the show notes for you. Hello, colleagues, and welcome to the Assistant Principal Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Frederick Buskey. We're all on a leadership journey. Every day we have a chance to grow. Every day we have a chance to help others grow. My goal and the goal of this podcast is to help you grow into being a strategic leader, a leader who puts people before purpose, who solves problems instead of treating symptoms, and who understands the difference between progress and action. Through this podcast, my daily email, and virtual programs, I'm working to build a network of inspired and inspiring school leaders. Let's get started on today's adventure and this unique opportunity to learn to live and lead better. But first, celebrations. So again, we're in the second week of April, which means the flowers are starting to pop out. And it's really easy to see that dogwood or the magnolia or whatever tree it is that's bursting into blossom and to stop and find the wonder in that. But I also want to encourage you to look down and to see the smaller things. It might be a tiny little yellow flower somewhere sticking out behind a rock, or it might be just noticing the vibrancy in the greens at this time of year and the grasses. It might be just enjoying or appreciating how grass and plants are growing over a decaying log, recognizing that in that space of that decaying log, you're seeing the past, you're seeing the present, and you're seeing a future. So just be present. Be intentional, look down, look around. It's not only about the big, bright, bold colors and the really impressive stuff. It's about the little things. And I emphasize this as being so important because when you're a leader, it is about the little things. Leadership is not achieving some big thing. It's about the little wins that you get every day that over a long time of span make this world a better place. So the first question is just about interviewing tips for aspiring assistant principals. And I've got four of these. The first is to remember that not only are they interviewing you, but you are interviewing them. It's an important thing to remember, and I'll actually build on that a little bit later. Secondly, be authentic. If you try to fit who you are into what you think that interview team or interviewer wants you to be, you will never get back that authenticity. You can't pretend to be one thing, get the job, and then flip back to who you were. If you're a big advocate of restorative justice, or if you're super passionate and wanting to do the instructional leadership work, but you reframe yourself as being a strict disciplinarian and you go into a school, guess what? You are locked into being a strict disciplinarian and you will lose that authenticity. So in the interview, be your authentic self. Related to that, tell the story that drives you. If you can tell a compelling story about why you're doing the work that you're applying for, like, why do you want to be an assistant principal? Tell the actual story, the student or the experience behind that desire. That will set you apart because now people won't just look at you as a resume or a bullet list of achievements. They'll look at you and they'll remember your story, and that's compelling. And then finally, the fourth thing is Don't tell people what you would do. Tell them what you have done. So if you get asked about the question of a student getting referred to you for a discipline event, instead of saying, well, I think I would do this, you can say, well, when I was a teacher and something similar happened, this is how I responded. And then you build into what you would do, right? So this is how I responded in this situation. Given my experience, this is the way I think I would handle it in the future in this role. That's also a big differentiator because it gives the team, the interviewing team, insight into what you can actually do as opposed to just anybody can talk about what they will do, right? We all can make stuff up, but for you to be able to say, no, I have done this, that sets you apart. So remember, you're interviewing them, be authentic, tell what you have done and tell the story that drives you. Tips for the interview. Another question, what catches the attention of an interview committee that makes them say, we got our person? So first of all, when you don't get the job and they tell you it just wasn't the right fit, trust them. It happens all the time. And I've been on multiple sides of the hiring process. I've talked to lots of principals, lots of superintendents when they were talking about their job searches. And the number of times that they will say, yeah, we had this person, we think we'll hire them somewhere, but this wasn't the right position. This wasn't the right fit. So just if you don't get the job and you're told it wasn't the right fit, take that on face value. Don't get frustrated. But the question is, what catches the attention? Going back, the story, right? That's number one. Number two, telling what you have already done instead of what you would do. And then I think the third piece, the new piece here, is the lighthouse. We have a pretty narrow picture of what it is to be a leader. I'm a 6'2" white guy, decent shoulders, got a nice voice. I can walk in, I can project a lot of intensity and passion and emotion and charisma. I fit the part of what we think a leader looks like. So it's easy for me to go in and be that lighthouse, right? Because people are going to see in me what they expect in a leader. So if you can do that, if you can be that lighthouse and send off that positive energy that makes the committee think, ooh, I want to be around this person, that is, I think, huge. I actually got my first teaching job, and in talking to the person that hired me later, she said, I was looking around the room. She was presenting to a room full of candidates. I was looking around the room thinking, who looks like they would be a good teacher? So we all do that. I don't know if it's fair or not, but we do that. So when you're in the interview, concentrate on being a lighthouse, on being positive, on being engaged, on radiating that charisma or that power. And if you don't fit the part, right? If you don't look like me, if you don't have the voice, if you don't fit what we think that is the classic mold of a leader, then you need to educate your interview team on why you or your form of leadership is going to be important. So if you're going into a high school and you are 5'8", petite, and you look like you're 19 years old, they're going to look at you and think, that doesn't look like a leader, right? She doesn't fit the part, or he doesn't fit the part. So what you'll need to do is to work extra hard and do it really consciously to educate them about why you do fit the role of a leader. So maybe I'm not planning on being the big disciplinarian, and I can recognize that, but that I'm gonna find team members that can help fit that role. But what I'm expert at is instruction. And this is how I use my leadership in instruction, or I'm great at building relationships. And this is how I use my leadership to build relationships. My superpower is bringing out the best in the people around me because it's not about me, right? So you have to educate the interview committee to help them see that, yes, to see you as a leader if you don't kind of look the part. Is that fair? No, but that's the reality of the world, of the culture that we have and of our cultural expectations of what constitutes being a leader. Next, what questions should aspiring APs ask in an interview? So the first thing is, what are you looking for in terms of complementing the team which already exists, right? So this is a good question to kind of get a sense of that thing about fit. What you're essentially asking is, am I going to, or what you're trying to find out is, am I going to fit into this team? My second teaching job, I was hired as a special education teacher, and specifically they had a group of sophomore, junior boys that were turned off of school, didn't want to work, didn't want to do anything, and they wanted that strong male presence to work with those guys. Again, is that fair to make that assumption that because I was a male, I could work with them? No, but that's what they were looking for. That's what the fit was. And if I had not been me, I probably would not have gotten that job. So asking the interview committee what they're looking for can help you understand if you don't get it, but also help tailor your answers as long as you remain authentic, right? So if they're saying they need somebody, an AP with good instructional leadership or curriculum experience, then you can highlight that when you're talking about things. If they lean more to the discipline side, then you can emphasize the way you build relationships with parents and students and deal with some of those kinds of things. So what are you looking for? The second one, what are your expectations of the assistant principal for instructional leadership? Depending on the size of the school, many, I would think a majority of assistant principals get pigeonholed into discipline. And yet what we look for in principals is instructional leadership. So if you think at some point that you'll want to move into a principalship, that means that as an AP, you need to be developing your instructional leadership. And why do you want to get into administration? Because you want to impact people, and specifically kids. What's the way to impact kids? Help your teachers grow, right? So if you really want to be a good AP, if you want to fulfill your purpose in the assistant principalship, you want to help your teachers grow. So think about that instructional leadership piece and ask, what are the expectations? You might also say, what are the opportunities for me to grow? Or you can frame that positively as in, I know that as a first year assistant principal, I have a lot to learn. What are the kinds of supports and opportunities that will be around me so that I can continue to grow and be my best? Another one is, if you hired me and I did a great job, what would that look like? What would that sound like? How will you determine if I did a great job? Because in many places, that assistant principal role is either, it's either not defined or it's defined so broadly that it includes everything. And so what you want to know is, what do they actually want? What are they thinking would be a great hire? So this is another way to find out what the expectation is. And then finally, I would probably ask what the approach to discipline is. Again, if you're immersed in restorative practices and you're able to really nurture and grow students and you want to teach them positive behaviors and address the root problems in their negative behaviors, and you go into a school that is everything is super strict and the expectation is if you get a referral, you cross-index the behavior with the punishment, you fill out the form, and you just turn them over, that's going to be a really bad fit for you, right? You are not going to be your authentic self. So know what you, the approach you want to take with discipline, and then specifically ask, how does this school approach discipline? Next question, what are areas in which first-time APs tend to struggle? First big one is taking other people's monkeys. You probably are getting into administration because you have a servant's heart. And the danger in that is that you get mixed up about what serving really means. And so my good friend William D. Parker on the Principal Matters podcast, he's told this story on my podcast, and I've heard him tell it multiple times. His first year as an AP, he wanted to serve. So he went around to teachers asking, what could he do? What could he do? What do you need me to do? How can I help you? And he collected this laundry list of things. And so every day he's just running around doing all this stuff in order to serve his teachers. But he wasn't really serving them because he was so busy doing all this other stuff, he couldn't help them grow, right? He was just checking boxes and doing things. So a lot of what you'll collect is other people's monkeys. They want you to deal with something that's really not your job. So when you're asked to do things, learn to filter it and think, okay, is this actually my job? And how does this, is this more important than me growing teachers? The second answer then to this question about what APs struggle with is that you wind up doing things that other people can do. Remember, there's probably only three positions in your school that can help support and grow your teachers. And outside of safety, supporting and growing your teachers is the most important thing in the school, because if you don't get better teachers, you're not going to have a better school. And if you do grow and help your teachers get better, you're going to have a better school. So if you're doing things other than that, if you're writing reports or putting up bulletin boards or organizing some kind of event, there are other people that can do that. There are other people that can organize the parents' day, but who can't go in and help teachers grow. So don't do what other people can do. Block that time so that you can invest it in supporting and growing your teachers, or invest it in doing things that only you can do. Another thing I see is that new APs miss the small opportunities for instructional leadership. We kind of have in our head that I have to go in, if I'm going to go into a classroom, it's got to be a 20-minute observation or 40-minute observation. I need to write everything down, and then I need to either conference with the teacher, or I need to write out some kind of a big note and share things with them. And you don't have the time for that as a new assistant principal. So what you need to think about is this kind of fast food coaching, right? Really short bites. So hopefully you've heard me talk about 5-minute coaching. You've heard me talk about asking the second question, or just the simplest stop by a classroom at the end of the day and say, hey, tell me what went well in your teaching today. Those little things, those questions that you can ask, you can help your teachers become more reflective practitioners, which will help them grow, right? That's instructional leadership. So don't think because you don't have an hour, you can't do instructional leadership. Every time you ask a teacher to reflect on their practice and create space for them to reflect, and you just listen, you are doing instructional leadership. Point four is getting caught in urgent leadership. And I think it's really inevitable in the position. The assistant principal position is just built to make you get caught in urgent leadership. But remember, urgent leaders prioritize tasks, or they focus on tasks instead of people. They prioritize what's urgent instead of what's purposeful. They treat symptoms instead of addressing root problems. And they confuse action with progress. So they think as long as they're doing something, then that's good. But it's only good if it's actually making things better. And so a lot of assistant principals get done at the end of a long week. They have worked hard. They've taken care of all kinds of issues. But when they start to reflect on the week on that Friday afternoon, they don't feel like they actually made their school better. And that's a sign that they're stuck in urgent leadership. So being mindful is the first step to escaping urgent leadership, but really monitoring that and thinking about, you know, am I focused on tasks or people? Am I reacting and just doing whatever pops up like whack-a-mole? Or have I actually scheduled and blocked my day around my priorities? Am I just looking at the surface, or am I actually pausing to ask why this happened so that I can get at the problem? And then am I conserving my action? So I make sure that the things I'm doing are actually moving us forward. Instead of just stamping out a bunch of discipline, am I actually going to make the time to get down to that teacher who is struggling to manage his classroom? Another trap I see some assistant principals fall into is failing to be a lighthouse. We talked a little bit earlier about what it is to be a leader. And even if you're not that kind of high charisma, high energy, super positive person. The fact is, the teachers in your building, the students in your building, the parents, they are going to look to you for leadership. And part of the expectation of leaders is that they inspire us, they give us hope, and they make us feel better about our circumstances. So you have got to be a lighthouse. You need to be able to walk into a room or walk into a space or have somebody come into your space, and they need to feel like there is a light on them, that things are a little bit lighter, that it is going to be okay. You have to bring energy to that. That doesn't mean you have to be an extrovert. I'm not an extrovert, right? I'm an introvert. At the end of a long day being with people, I just want to shut my door and be alone. The mark of an introvert is not that you can't put yourself out there. It's just that it takes energy away from you and you need to have that alone time to recover. You've got to figure out a way to be a lighthouse. That's the expectation, but more importantly, that's what people need from you. So you may not have that naturally, or you may have that, but you just get so overwhelmed with the job, you forget. So remember, I think the best way to handle this is remember, you choose how you show up every day in every interaction. And be aware, make the choice intentionally. Know that every time somebody comes into your orbit, you are making a choice. Do I light up for this person? No matter how I feel inside, do I light up for this person? And am I that lighthouse for them? Or am I not going to fire up that lamp? Am I going to conserve my oil? It needs to be an intentional decision. And more often than not, the decision needs to be, I'm going to be a lighthouse for that person because that's what they need from you. I already mentioned focusing on tasks instead of people. I think it's worth repeating maybe over and over again, right? People are the purpose. That's why you're in the job. And if you get so focused on tasks instead of people, not only are you not growing people, but now you're moving away from your purpose. And that's when you get lost. And then finally, I would say the other missed opportunity is not nurturing your early career teachers. It seems to me that assistant principals, especially new assistant principals and early career teachers, should be a match made in heaven, right? They're coming in, they need support, they need leadership. A lot of their challenges are going to revolve around student relationships and parent relationships. And what are you? You're probably an expert at those things. And you want to have an impact on teachers. So rather than going and trying to be a 30-year-old assistant principal working with a 45 or 50-year-old veteran teacher and trying to overcome all kinds of barriers, if they're resistant, go work with the people that are dying for support, that want to be nurtured, that want to be grown. Invest in your early career teachers. It's a great match for new assistant principals, and that's where you will have a huge impact. I mean, imagine if you can catch 3 teachers at the beginning of their careers, and you can teach each one of them one thing that is a superpower that they can carry then through the thousands of kids that they're going to teach over the span of their career. Like, how cool is that? That's why you got into it, right? So focus on those early career teachers. Final question. So discussion on staying positive when getting rejected or finding that first AP job. So if you're applying and you're not having success, you're being told it's not the right fit, how do you stay positive? How do you stay in the game? So number one, it is fit. It's about fit. And fit goes both ways, right? You may have not been the right fit for them, but they may not have been the right fit for you. So when somebody tells you it wasn't the right fit, just accept that. Don't make up a bunch more information. My good friend Mary Hemphill at Limitless Leader said, when you put a good person in a bad organization, the organization wins. When you put a good person in a bad organization, the organization wins. So many times you are not going to get jobs that it is good you don't get. Because we can be so focused on getting, especially if it's that first AP job, right? I just got to get my foot in the door. If you get your foot in the door in a bad school, you're going to get buried and you may never recover. The third thing is to build your support network, because you're right, it can be discouraging looking for jobs and not getting them. So build your support network. Remember, support network, I did a whole podcast on this one. Your leader, your peers, an advocate, and a mentor. So your leader is whoever your leader is now, right? It might be your assistant principal, principal, some other position, I don't know. Your peers, there are lots of options for that. It could be other experienced people in your district that you network with. It could be a group of people that you went through your administrative licensure program with, maybe your cohort or that group of people. Foster relationships. When you go to conferences, foster relationships, connect with people, and then stay in touch, because that can be a great peer group. You also need an advocate, which can be your spouse, sometimes your child, somebody close to you that you really trust, and then you need that mentor. If you have those three, if you have three of those four pieces in place, that's going to increase your resilience. And when you get that disappointment, you can go to one of these people and say, and they're going to help you put things in perspective. Also, when you do get a rejection, ask for feedback. Some places, a lot of places, are not going to want to give you feedback because they're too concerned about the legal consequences. But sometimes they will give you feedback. They will say specifically, yeah, we were looking for somebody that has more experience with curriculum, right? That's great feedback for you, because now you can think about, all right, what do I need to do to get that experience? So you can ask for feedback. Also remember, every no is one step closer to a yes. And this can be kind of overused and sound like just positive spin, but the fact is, if you swing enough times, you're going to hit the ball at some point. So just know that every time you get a no, that's progress, because you put yourself out there, right? You put yourself out there, you tried, that's one step, and that means you're one step closer to yes. When I made the jump from K-12 to higher education, it took me 2 years to get a job. The second year, I sent out no less than 50 job applications. 50. And of course, half of them you never even hear from. There's no acknowledgement or anything. Out of those 50 applications, I got one interview. One interview in this small little college that was 9.5 hours from where I lived. But that interview was at Western Carolina University. And the person interviewing me was Dr. Jackie Jacobs, who has been just one of the most important mentors in my life, and a guest on one of the podcast episodes, of course. And so that was the right one. It was the right fit. And I landed at Western and we did some really amazing things in my time there. So don't get discouraged. Understand it's a matter of just working through, and you may have to do 50 applications before you get an interview. You may have to do 50 interviews before you get a job. That's kind of the way it is. And that leads to my last point, which is life doesn't run on your time or your plan. Just because your plan is to be in the classroom for 8 years and then move into an assistant principalship, and now you're in that year and you're applying, just because that's your plan, that doesn't mean that's not the way life works. So just accept that. You can't always make everything go according to plan. Okay, I think I've answered a bunch of those questions. I want to leave you with three closing thoughts. So the first is that leadership is a journey. I say that at the end of every podcast, but it is really, really true. You began your leadership journey probably when you were young and still in school, in high school or middle school or whatever. You continue that leadership journey as a teacher candidate and moving into the classroom as a full-time teacher. You have been leading your students, and you probably are leading some of your peers. And now you want to next step on that journey, which is to lead from the assistant principal space or instructional coach or whatever it is. And there will be future steps on that journey. So even when it can be discouraging or it's hard, take that bigger picture and understand this is all part of the journey. And the key to living the good life, the key to being able to serve others, is to take care of yourself, to attend to your own resilience. And part of that is understanding this is a long journey. You got 20 years left. You got 15 years in front of you. You have 20 years in talking in terms of your career. Take the time, enjoy it, and appreciate the moments. Secondly, this work, life is about relationships. It's about people. So as long as you're working through this process, you're trying to find that job, keep building relationships. Keep focusing on people. When you interview in a job, try to connect with people. Maybe you'll meet someone in that interview. Maybe you won't even get the job, but you'll connect with somebody in that interview that you guys just form a great relationship. And maybe it leads to some opportunity down the road. Maybe it doesn't, but you connect with somebody and your life is now a little bit richer. So relationships and people. And then the last piece is to be present and authentic. And I think when we're not present, that's when we start to lose our authenticity. So again, don't overly focus on the next moment. Don't overly focus on that upcoming job. Focus on where you're at now. Be present to what's happening. And then in that presence, know thyself and always remain true and authentic to yourself. Leadership is a journey. We just talked about that. You can find links to all sorts of stuff in the show notes, including my website, frederickbuskey.com. My new book, A School Leader's Guide to Reclaiming Purpose, is now available on Amazon. You can find links to it, as well as free book study materials on my website at frederickbuskey.com/reclaiming-purpose. Although I have to offer the caveat, as of April 10th, Wednesday, when I'm recording this, I don't yet have those book study materials up, but they're coming. So maybe if you're listening to this the third week of April, they'll actually be there. Okay, that's it. Have a great rest of the week. Be present for others. And more importantly, take time to reflect and recover so you can continue to live and lead better. Cheers.